Welcome to the Girl Scout Advantage podcast, a podcast where we educate, empower, and share the stories of the Girl Scout experience. Join us to rediscover the magic of leadership, teamwork, and personal discovery. The Girl Scout Advantage, a podcast where you will learn how the Girl Scouts Heart of Michigan creates successful girls for today who will become the leaders of our tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Girl Scout Advantage podcast. I'm your host, Brenna Smith with Girl Scouts Heart of Michigan, and I am so excited to be catching up with my friend, someone who I deeply admire, one of our amazing volunteers, Julie Abe. So Julie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So to get us started, Julie, can you just tell our audience a little bit about you?
Sure. My husband and I were blessed with two girls. And so Girl Scouting has been a big part of our lives, because when they were young, what are you going to get them involved in? What kind of a positive thing are we going to do with these girls? And reading about, you know, the Girl Scout promise and the law, and that's what I want for my girls. I want all that. So, and he did too. My husband did too. So that was the way we went. And they were Girl Scouts from the time they were daisies up until high school. So the one is a lifetime member, and she's in Spain right now. She's a traveler. She's out there. The other's a little more quiet and more reserved, but it's been a great experience. So
that is wonderful. How cool to be in Spain right now. My yes. Goodness. So were you a Girl Scout growing up, Julie, or no?
I was never a Girl Scout. No.
Wow. So your journey started then when your daughters.
Yes.
Wow. So did you initially start out, you know, were you just like, okay, we want this for our girls. I'm going to step up and be the troop leader.
Actually, no, I sat back for the first couple of years with the oldest one, and she had some great troop leaders. Mm-hmm. And so when somebody needed to be a troop leader for the youngest one, I was like, well, I guess it's going to be me. And there we went.
So I absolutely love your Girl Scout story, Julie, because I think it is so special that, you stayed involved with Girl Scouts even after your daughters, you know, completed the program. So can you talk to us a little bit about that? You know, did you stay involved, you know, immediately after your girls finished? Did you, you know, tell us about that?
Well, having been the troop leader for so many years, and it came time, then they were done and they were off to college and out on their own and doing their own thing. What am I going to do? What else would I do? Girl Scouts is for me through and through. So that's why I'm still here. I want to help other girls too, not just my own, but others. I've seen a lot of success stories. And so I want to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have definitely made such an impact on our girls down in Branch County. So we're so grateful for your continued involvement. So how long, how many years have you been a troop leader for?
30 and counting.
Wow. That is simply incredible. Like, wow. I'm just going to let that soak in for a minute for our listeners, because I mean, you have seen girls go from start to finish through the program, and then have a whole new grade level kind of start up behind them. So what are some of the things that you feel like you get out of Girl Scouts that keeps you coming back? And I know that you mentioned that you love giving back to girls and empowering them, you know, and that's part of what keeps you coming back. Are there other things that you feel like you specifically gain that keep you involved too?
Well, the Girl Scout program instills so much in girls, but it has instilled a lot in me also. The courage. I was a shy little person. I didn't talk to anybody. So I've come out of my shell and made a lot of great friends over the years. A lot of great friends.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. I've had the privilege of being with Julie when she's worked with the girls in her troop, and seeing, you know, how they just absolutely admire her And I see the way that you interact with them. And I think it's so cool knowing you now and knowing that, you know, when you were a girl, that you describe yourself as being shy and very quiet when you were a girl. And, you know, now, because of Girl Scouts, it sounds like you've kind of grown in many ways and grown out of your shell. And I think that is so cool. Now, can you think of specific examples of girls that you feel like you have seen them grow and evolve and change in some of those same profound ways throughout your experience?
Well, due to modern technology and due to fantastic Facebook, I am still friends with some of the girls that I had years ago, and they are out in the world doing great things. So raising families, raising, you know, doing, some are still going to school to learn new things, and they've made their way.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So, I also think it's really cool kind of how your troop operates, because there are, it's a large kind of multi-level troop, different age groups, involved. Can you tell us a little bit about, your troop, kind of, you know, the ages that are in the troop and how you all work together to make the experience happen for the girls?
When my girls were growing up and I was their troop, the youngest one's troop leader, and then later the older one's troop leader also, I always had the dream of becoming a troop leader for each age level. That was just like my goal. That's what I wanted to do, because so many girls start in a troop and then their troop leader quits or moves on or whatever, and they don't have anywhere to go. So my goal, my dream was to have somewhere that they could go and always have consistency of a troop. And so I've done that, and now starting to cut back a little bit, because it is a lot of work to do that many troops. And I've always had help. I've never done it alone. I've always had help. But
I was hoping to talk a little bit too about, you know, right now you're working with about 30 girls.
Okay.
Right. So could you kind of give us a breakdown of the girls you're working with right now? And, you know, you mentioned that you're working with the Brownies and the CSAs and that kind of thing.
Yes. This year I am concentrating on a Brownie troop. There are 16 girls in this Brownie troop. We went out, we have a local event in our area called Trick or Treat for the Hungry. We went out the other day and collected food. These girls loved it. It was raining, but they didn't care. They just wanted to collect food to help people. So I asked them if they wanted to do it again, and all but I think one raised their hand that yes, they want to do it again. They love to help people. The other age level that I'm concentrating on is this year is the Cadet Seniors and Ambassadors. We are a multi-level troop. There are 13 of them. The two oldest ones are seniors in high school, and they're getting ready to go out on their own and make a difference in the world. And they still have dreams of things they want to do. They want to go to Washington, D.C., which doesn't sound like fun to me, but that's what they want to do. So that's what they're going to do. I'm a firm believer in what a girl wants to do is what a girl should do. And we work hard to make those goals come true for them. So
that is so cool. I think it's so interesting to me because Brownies are very different from Cadet Seniors and Ambassadors.
Yes.
What is that like for you right now, working with two age groups that are so different? And even when you think about the Cadet Senior Ambassador group, you know, a sixth grade girl is very different from that 12th grade girl too. So can you tell us a little bit about that? You know, what is it like working with such a wide array of girls at very different developmental levels and that kind of thing?
Well, the Brownies meet on their own, and the Cadets and Seniors and Ambassadors meet all together. But then we usually start the meeting together. They break apart to do the badge work or to do the planning on what they want to do and what where they want to go, things they want to do, places they want to see. And we might come together on some of those too, but we don't necessarily have to.
It's fun to me to see the differences in some of those ages, you know?
Yes.
So another thing that I know is really important to you, and I love how you just said it, you know, what a girl wants to do, that's what we're going to do. That totally points to girl-led and how important girl-led is in Girl Scouts. Can you tell us a little bit about how you facilitate girl-led or things that you've learned maybe about girl-led over the years?
Things I've learned about girl-led is if you're not doing what they want to do, then they lose interest. So even though girls love animals, animals aren't my favorite. They're okay, but they're animals. And so if they want to do things with animals, we do things with animals because that's what they want to do. If they want to go on a trip somewhere that I don't necessarily care to go on, it's not about me. It's about what they want. And so we will do what we can. Not that we can do everything they want to do, but we can do what we can do. And I must be doing something right because, like I said, we have 13, five of them are seniors and ambassadors, and they keep coming back. So,
yeah, I think you're so right that, I mean, we know from the research that you're so right that girls, you know, if they don't have ownership of their experience, they are definitely not going to stay through even being a cadet, let alone going all the way through high school with it. So you are so right. If you were talking to a brand new leader who maybe is like intimidated by this idea of girl-led or thinking like, oh my gosh, what do you mean I'm supposed to let the girls plan the meeting? What advice would you give to that leader who maybe is a little cautious about this girl-led thing?
My advice might be to let the girls see where they're going to take you. It might not be places you ever thought about going, but you can do it. You can go where they want to go. You can do what they want to do, and you will learn and you will grow from those things.
Yeah. Sometimes, especially, you know, a little bit outside of our comfort zone or a lot out of our comfort
zone. Yeah. Sometimes a lot. Yeah.
Is where we grow the most, right? Can you think of times as being a troop leader where you were way outside your comfort zone and now looking back at that experience, you think, I'm so glad I did that, even though I was outside of that comfort zone?
Well, when they got me on the back of a horse, when they got me in a canoe, I don't do water things, but if they want to do water things, we do. And getting those things for me to try, they're pretty good. They're pretty good. They love to do all that stuff. They love water things. They love animals. They love traveling. So give it a try. Give it a try.
Yeah. Yeah.
You might not still like it, but at least you can say that you tried it too.
Yeah. And that you've role modeled that for the girls, right? They see their leader that they admire so much and that they look up to doing something that is not her first choice, you know, not something that she maybe would have signed up for on her own. But I think we can't underestimate the power of our girls seeing us do those things that, you know, are outside of our comfort zone. So how do you, at the Brownie level specifically, how do you keep, you know, badge work girl-led and keep the girls kind of involved in that badge work process at the Brownie level?
At the beginning of the year, we take the badge work, these wonderful pamphlets that Girl Scouts publishes about badge work and different things that we can do. And I throw them out on the table basically and say, you know, what do you girls want to do? And we might go over a few at a time to help them get started to say, oh yeah, I want to learn about animals, or I want to learn how to cook, or I want to, and we kind of go from there. then after we kind of narrow it down to which ones we want to do, we will look at them and say, okay, now we have to do 5 things to earn this badge. So what, you know, what are some ideas on what you want to do? Here are some suggestions they give us, but what do you want to do? And they're, at brownie level, they always have such great ideas. They are just full of energy. And so they'll tell you.
Their imaginations at that age are magnificent. You can't talk to a brownie girl and not be like thrilled about the incredible possibilities that lie before you. So have you ever had an experience where a badge that the troop wants to work on is something that you have like no idea about, like you are totally not an expert in it? How do you kind of facilitate or help that experience still happen if it's something that you're like, oh my gosh, cybersecurity, I know nothing about cybersecurity?
Well, we haven't done that badge either, because ask for help, look online. And there was one badge that we started, and I think it was called Inventor. This was a couple of years ago. And you could just tell that after they got into it, they weren't into it. And so we never finished it. That's probably not the right thing to say, but we never finished it because they just lost interest in it. And I couldn't keep them going with it. So we moved on to something else.
I think that's actually great advice, because it goes back to what you said earlier, Julie, that, you know, you have to keep it girl led. You have to keep the girls engaged, and it's okay to start something and not finish it if it's not, you know, what you thought it was going to be, or if the girls aren't interested in that. And I think it also is, you know, comforting for some troop leaders who might struggle with that. Like, oh my gosh, the girls said they wanted to do the badge. You know, we're 2 steps in and nobody is interested in this anymore. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great advice for troop leaders. Now, the other thing that I am curious about, if you have advice for a scenario where there's an activity planned or something as part of a badge earning or part of a meeting, and, you know, as part of the plan, it's like, okay, this activity is going to take 45 minutes, right? And then you do the activity and it takes all of 7.5 minutes. And then you're going, oh my gosh, what do we do now? Can you share a little bit about, you know, when you've run into that in the past? What are some of the ways that you've, you know, kind of shifted or worked on other things? Or, you know, what advice would you give to a brand new leader in that kind of scenario?
Always be ready to do something else. Do more, either work on more on the badge, do something else, sing some songs. Always be prepared to do something else, because sometimes it will that 45-minute project may take 7 minutes. Sometimes it may take 3 hours, but that's okay too. Just keep doing what the girls want to do. And as long as they're interested in having fun with it, keep doing it. And if they're done faster than what you think, just be prepared to move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love what you said too about, oh, this is only going to take 45 minutes and it actually takes 3 hours. We've all been there too. You know, it can kind of flip flop either way. But I think it's also, and you kind of alluded to this, it's important to give ourselves grace in those scenarios. And, you know, it's so important for our girls to see us reacting to that. And are we, you know, kind of beating ourselves up because, oh my gosh, I can't believe I, you know, messed up on this? Or are we just, you know, fluidly moving to the next thing and, you know, flexing resilience and that kind of thing, right? So I love what you said about just have something in your back pocket, right? That that you can work on too.
And I will tell them that was supposed to take 45 minutes. Look at how fast you guys did this. And so I will tell them, you did great. Let's move on.
Yeah. And that again helps them to learn, helps them to see, because it's not just in Girl Scouting that sometimes things take a whole lot longer or a whole lot shorter than you think. You know, that's a real life skill that you have. Now, kind of thinking a little bit more about life skills, so many of our badges are geared towards life skills and, you know, helping girls to build those. What are some of the life skills that you feel like you have seen girls develop in your troop?
I think it's wonderful that Girl Scouts teaches them life skills, because that is something that will last their lifetime. And teaching them how to solve problems, to think outside of the box, to think on their own without having to be told. Yeah, I think back when my own girls were young, you couldn't necessarily tell them everything. Some things they had to learn on their own. And I think life skills are kind of like that. Sometimes you just have to learn them on your own. Not that we can't guide them to help them, but sometimes it just doesn't sink in until you've worked with it on your own. Like the problem solving, it's practice. You have to practice. And you had mentioned role modeling before. It's role modeling to the girls that it's okay. It's okay if we need to go to another plan. Or
I mean, I think what you have said is actually a perfect transition to talk a little bit about the outcome that we're going to chat a little bit today, which is Discover 5, Girls Develop Critical Thinking Skills. For all of our listeners, if you've been tuning into the other episodes in this season, you know we're taking each of the 15 outcomes, kind of going one by one and chatting just a little bit about each of them while we're chatting with our podcast guests. So girls develop critical thinking. You absolutely touched on this and you know, the problem solving and working together to, you know, respond to a change, you know, that kind of thing. How have you seen girls in your troop, maybe your daughters specifically, develop critical thinking skills as part of Girl Scouting, whether that's, you know, badge work or being out at camp or, you know, anything that comes to mind?
The critical thinking is an essential skill for life. It is something that they will always have.
I think, you know, one of the things that I think are some of our troop leaders, when they look at the 15 outcomes, it can feel a little intimidating. Like, how am I supposed to instill all of these things in girls? and I would argue, Julie, that you're doing that, because if you weren't doing that with all your girls, just like you said earlier, you wouldn't have girls that stick with you, you know, all the way through high school, right? So I'm wondering if you have thoughts or advice around, like, how do you approach helping girls to develop the critical thinking skills?
Well, there's probably different ways, but playing games is a great way. It's a safe thing to do. It's just a game. So one that I tried out with the leaders a couple weeks ago, and I wanted their advice on if they thought teenage girls would like to do it, was cup stacking. We took cups and we stacked them, and then we hid them. And then it's kind of like Kim's game, you know, that they play when they're little. You hide the cups, and then they get so long to look at the cups, and then they have to go and remember how those cups were stacked, and they have to copy it. So some adults had a hard time doing that too, because, well, I guess we made the cups kind of complicated, but but they did it, and they weren't all perfect either. They didn't all match exactly, but I asked them then if they thought teenage girls would be able to do that. And they said, oh yes, that girls would probably love to do this. It would be working as a team. It's not just per girl. It's working as a team to solve that and recreate it. And so we're going to try it with the girls next week. and see how well that comes out.
I think that sounds so fun. And it's, you're so right, Julie. Like, I think we sometimes can get bogged down in like teaching critical thinking skills must be this complex experience, right? And it doesn't have to be. It can be having fun and playing a seemingly silly game or a lighthearted game that there's so much learning kind of buried in the fun, right? So I think the other thing that I'm interested to hear from you is, why do you think that critical thinking skills and you know, all of our 15 outcomes, why do you think that it's important for girls today to build these skills and these outcomes?
They need to learn them as when they're young so they can build on them, and it'll help them in life. It may help them in their career. It might help them with their communication because they have to talk with the other girls and figure this out, just like they might have to do in a job someday. It may improve their relationship when they learn how to communicate with each other. And that would be an essential skill through their life.
Absolutely. Now, I'm also very curious when you talk about communication skills. Now, obviously, I love communication skills. that's one of my passion areas in life, right? But I think it's so interesting that girls today, because they spend so much time on their phone and communicating electronically, have you noticed a shift over the years in how girls kind of interact with one another? And how have you seen technology kind of impact the Girl Scout experience?
This happened several years ago. We were on a trip and two girls were having a little disagreement. And I said, you girls need to sit down and talk about this. And I looked and they were sitting on beds across from each other on their phones, messaging each other. And I had to say, I'm sorry, that's not what I meant. You need to put those away and talk face to face. You are face to face, so talk to each other face to face and work it out that way. And it was hard for them. It was hard, but they eventually did work it out. So,
mm-hmm. And it's so important, you know, to have often just having the practice of having tough conversations, you know, mm-hmm. Practice with anything is how you get better at it, of course. But for our, you know, technology native kiddos who have grown up with one of these devices kind of mm-hmm. in their face, you know, I think sometimes there's a lot of judgment around those kids and how they interact, and that it's like, no, you just have to give them the chance and the practice to build the skills that they otherwise haven't, you know, had that chance to build or had the need to build those skills, right?
True.
I think it's so important also for them to have a mentor like you who can say, well, that's not what I meant. Like, we're not going to sit face to face and text each other about this, you know, because that is their kind of gut instinct. So Julie, why, I mean, you've given us many examples of why Girl Scouting is important in your life. What would you tell someone thinking about Girl Scouting for their family or thinking about stepping up to be a volunteer, but they're not sure if that's what they want to do? What might you share with them about your experience that might make them want to say yes?
My first instinct is to say, educate yourself on what the Girl Scout program is. But then the other thing would be just to jump in and give it a chance and learn with your girl and your daughter and grow with her. Just give it a chance. The best way to learn is by doing. So be a Girl Scout. Be a Girl Scout.
It sounds like you have no regrets about being a Girl Scout.
I have no regrets.
All those years ago.
I have no regrets.
Love it. Well, Julie, thank you so much for joining us today. It was really great to hear, you know, a little bit more from your perspective on why Girl Scouting is so important, and you know why it's important to pour into our girls and empower them, because they're so worth it. You know, our girls need us, and they need amazing volunteers like you who are going to pour into them and you know, give them these experiences that they might not otherwise get. So thank you so much for joining us today, Julie.
Thank you, Brenna. It was nice talking with you.
It was great talking to you too, and hearing some more of the stories that I haven't heard before. So I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
So to all of our listeners, if you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, please be sure to do so by clicking the beautiful subscribe button that you see. From there, give this podcast a rating and a review so that we can reach more listeners. And then go ahead and share this episode and tag us, Girl Scouts Heart of Michigan, on social media, because you never know who might be needing to hear a story like Julie's, a perspective like Julie's today. And, you know, someone who might be looking for an opportunity like Girl Scouts for them or for their girl. So thanks again for joining us today. I'm your host, Brenna Smith. And until next time, be bold, be brave, and leave each place a whole lot better than you found it. Jeez.